So we haven't talked about this particular story in a while, but in the Gospels, there's a story of Jesus passing through a town, and he comes to this particular fountain or pool, and there's a man, there's actually a lot of people lying around the pool begging for food and drink and to be taken care of. And he talks to this one particular man who is lying on a mat who is paralyzed, who cannot walk. And Jesus has this whole exchange with him, and the short version of that story is Jesus heals him, but he doesn't just heal him. He says, pick up your mat and walk and take your mat with you. And one of the things I like to talk about is that Jesus not only healed him, but set him on a whole new path. It's like, don't be tempted to come back here tomorrow. I know this is your way of life, but I've healed you. I've made you, I've raised you to a new life. So give away your spot, right? Take your mat away from here. And we've talked about how easy it is, even if we've encountered God in our life, to keep going into those same habits and routines. And I love that image of just taking away the whole mat so that it removes one more way that we might kind of go back to those old habits. I mention that because that's, as I read Isaiah today, this passage from Isaiah 60, it's kind of the same message. Isaiah is talking about the salvation, this light that's going to come, but he also says, it's going to change you. And he uses this phrase, arise and shine. And so I want to, it's up here. If you don't get anything else today, that's kind of the point of the sermon, kind of like this illustration, is what does it mean not only to hear about God's love in Christ, to receive the salvation of God, but to actually rise up and shine with it, for it to affect your life and your choices and that sort of thing. So I want to walk through this passage from Isaiah, through the story of Simeon that you heard from Luke, and then talk a little bit about what it means to arise and shine. So I want to start in Isaiah. Isaiah is one who knew darkness. We've talked about this before. He was writing to a people that over his whole life that were about to lose everything, home, Jerusalem, temple, family, friends, jobs, lifestyle, eventually be taken off into captivity where they would be more or less enslaved for generations, right? And the people who experienced that not only lost all that they had before, but really lost a sense of connection with God. There was this feeling that God has abandoned us. And Isaiah, like many of the prophets, wrote to those people through that, the loss of home, the exile, and looking ahead to what might be next. And Isaiah knew what it was to struggle, to live in the shadows, to live in darkness, to live in a world where it seemed like the light of God's presence had gone out. This past month, we have, starting with the blues service early in December, we acknowledge the grief and the darkness and sometimes the shadows that are part of coming up to what is supposed to be a joyful, light-filled holiday and service of worship. And we recognize that that's part of life. And I want to affirm, yes, that's part of life. And one of the reasons I love Scripture is that it doesn't ignore that or gloss over it, but it digs deep into it so that these words from Isaiah that sound so full of light and hope, they are written to a people who not only experienced grief and loss and darkness, but did so for generations. I mean, not even months, not even years, but generations, right? So Isaiah was writing about the disobedience and the sin towards God, the consequences that would affect generations. He was writing into the exile. But at the end of that sentence, right, behold, darkness will cover the earth. This is what it's going to be like for a while, friends, he says, and deep darkness will cover the people. But, and he holds out this message of hope. He says, but the Lord will rise upon you like the sunrise. And there's that great, that's like God's own metaphor, right? As dark as it may be, dawn is coming, right? However dark tonight may be, you can count on it. The sun will rise tomorrow. And he lifts that up and says, God will come to you as surely as the sun rises. And he says, but God's glory will appear on you, and it'll be like the noonday sun, right? Not just a little bit of light, but God's presence, God's glory will one day you will bask in it, like the warmth of the day. That's what he says to these people who for hundreds of years lived in the darkness. We believe that that promise was fulfilled in Jesus, that he was the Messiah that was hoped for. And there's all this language around him that ties into Isaiah, right? In the Gospel of John, he's called the light of the world, and the light sent into the darkness. And just time and time again, these metaphors and these images used for God's promised one, Jesus claims for himself. Well, on a fast forward, what was about 500 years to the Gospel of Luke, to the story of Simeon. Jesus has been born. When he was 8 days old, as was the custom, his parents took him to the temple to have him circumcised. And he was presented at the temple, and a priest there named Simeon received them. And we, in Luke, you get a little bit of Simeon's backstory. He is described as one who had not, these are my words, he had not given up hope in God's promised one. He was waiting for, and he was old, but he had been waiting all of his life for the consolation of Israel, for God's promise to be delivered. And he had sensed in his spirit that God had told him, before you die, you will see it. He had been with his people waiting for 500 years for Isaiah's promise to be fulfilled. And he believed he would see it. And when he saw Mary and Joseph and the baby, he, in his spirit, he recognized that as the promised one. And he bursts into what I like to think of as a song, because I've heard it set to music. It may have just been some words. But he recognizes this baby as God's promised one. And he says in this kind of out loud prayer to God, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He's talking about this baby. Now, both Luke and Isaiah have used a whole bunch of metaphors about light and dark and rising glory and sunrise and the noonday sun, but this is specific, right? This is what all that is talking about. This child, he believes, is God's salvation, the one who's going to rescue the world from darkness, from sin, from death. And so he declares that, and that's the good news that Luke goes on to tell. All that he knows about this one who would grow up to be Jesus, to be the Christ. But that's not all Simeon said, not just, "I've seen your salvation." He goes on to say, this child is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. And that led me to think, and this is what took me back to that illustration with the candles. When Jesus, and when God's promise, God's hope is described as a light, it's not just a light to see, it's a light to carry, right? It's a light to see, like I understand, I receive, I accept God's salvation, God in my life. It's a light that I've seen, but it's also, now that I have it, it's like my candle, right? It's a light to shine, that God might be seen in me. I'm working my way back around to that. What does it mean to arise and shine, for God's light has come? It's just that we played out on Christmas Eve, right? God's light has come into the world. It's Christ. Here's the Christ candle. It's been offered to you that all who believe might be saved, might be rescued, might know God's presence and hope, but it's also a light to pass on to your neighbor, to your children, to strangers, right? It's a light to see, that I might see, and it's a light to be seen. What does that look like exactly? To be a little more tangible, I see it all the time in you. It is prayers for each other. It's hugs when you haven't seen someone in a while, right? It's checking in with people. It's the deacons calling and saying, "What's going on? How can I pray for you?" It's greeting somebody at church you haven't seen in a while. It's going to visit someone in their home who has been sick or shut in or isn't able to get out. It's this very unusual practice at Good Shepherd of unrelated people going to the ball games and the concerts and the plays of the teenagers in our church just because they want to support them and love them. It's family, it's community experience through Christ. It's also something that we do collectively as a church, and I think back over this past year, and we didn't call it this at the time, but I would call these beacon events, thinking of light, our yard sale, our barbecue, our movie night, our jazz concert. These are ways of saying, God is here, and we want to be good neighbors to you. We want to connect with you. It's like the light is shining here, like a beacon, right? We didn't hang up neon signs on the cross tower, because that'd be the last thing I ever did on the way out the door. But we believe that Christ shines brightly here at Good Shepherd, and we want Christ to shine brightly through us. So we have these ministries and these missions we do together, and that's what makes us a church, right? And we're excited to see what that's going to look like in this coming year. But I also believe God gives each one of us, each person who believes, a ministry and a mission, or two or three, right? Because if you've received the light of Christ, part of the definition of that is that it's going to shine and that it's going to manifest in some way outwardly. So you may not know what that is. You may never have thought, oh, do I have a personal ministry or mission? But I believe God wants every one of us to participate in what he's doing in the world. So part of what I want to talk about in this new year is, what does God want us to do as a church to be beacons in the world? And what does God want you to do and me to do as followers of Christ? Little beacons. It's really what the word Christian means. It's like little followers of Jesus, shining little lights like him. So when Isaiah says in Isaiah, new darkness and new shadows and new grief and new sorrow, and he says, God's light will come, arise, shine. If he could say that with all that he faced, if Simeon could say that after 500 years of nothing but shadows and darkness, God's invitation to us is to hold out hope that even if we're struggling right now, if you are struggling, if you're in the darkness and the shadows, God's light has come. And his invitation, kind of like pick up your mat, his invitation is arise and shine. I am with you. I love you to the end. Let's pray together.